All right, I'm starting a new series here, little collection of a theme. Let's just call it a theme. I don't like series because you feel like you have to hit every episode if you... No, let me take it back. Don't miss one single episode. That's a better appeal. But yet while they all build, they will all stand by themselves. You understand that. And here is the theme, and you guys have to help me out a little bit. But the theme is this: be extreme. Everybody say extreme like that, all right? Be extreme, all right? And so we're going to be talking about extreme. I was thinking about next week. You can put next week's intro. I like the idea that you can put extreme in front of anything and it changes it, you know? So that's kind of fun. But the concept is this, that when it comes to the Lord, we ought not to be playing it safe, aiming for the middle, being lukewarm. We've got to be all in. I know everybody likes to quote everything in moderation, and we got to have balance to our lives. And maybe that applies to some stuff, all right? But when it comes to the Lord, I think he's looking for some Jesus freaks. And it's been a long time since we've been Jesus freaks. And so we're going to be talking about what is it that we're called to be extreme in. And I think it'd be healthy for the church to just go ahead and overdo it. In fact, I'm going to borrow a comedic act that I saw a Christian comedian, his name's Michael Jr., do. I'm going to build on his idea. He talked about this idea of being oversaved. This idea of maybe you're a little extreme. The idea of you can't even have a conversation with somebody about the weather and they turn it into the Lord's coming back, or you talk about sports and the Lions and, oh yeah, the Lion of Judah. You know, they just throw everything. You can't have a normal conversation with them. So he had a couple things in there and they're pretty funny, and you can look him up on YouTube and you can get this idea of oversaved. I laughed pretty good, all right? I thought it was funny. All right, don't be mad at me, because some of these things are going to pick on some of our religious bones just a little bit, all right? So I turned it more into like a Jeff Foxworthy thing. You know you're oversaved when... All right, so I have a list here, and I think they're funny. You're not going to get half of them if you haven't been in church 500 years like me. So the first one, this one is from Michael Jr. himself. You know you're oversaved if you've ever tried to exorcise a demon out of your dirt devil vacuum cleaner. Okay, so that gives you an idea, all right, of where these are coming from, all right? That was the only one I stole from him. The rest of these are mine, so you can blame them all on me. Here we go. You know you're oversaved when your food is always cold by the time you finish praying for it. You know you're oversaved if you don't own any T-shirts without scripture references on them. You know you're oversaved if your DVD collection consists of only movies starring Kirk Cameron. I like that one. Not everyone's going to get that one. You know you're oversaved if the only TV shows you watch star either Michael Landon, Andy Griffith, or Roma Downey, all right? And so if you've been in church a long time in your life, you could probably... Let's see who our religious people are here. Give me the two Michael Landon shows. And then there was Highway to Heaven. Is that Highway to Heaven? I forgot about Bonanza. All right, so we can throw that one. Andy Griffith. I know we got Andy Griffith fan over here. We got, of course, Andy Griffith show and
Matlock.
All right. And then Roma Downey. That one's a little Touched by an Angel. And then she actually was behind the Bible series, the new one right there. So, all right, you guys are all oversaved. Good job. You're oversaved if you own more Bibles than shoes. You're oversaved if you know what mixed bathing is and are opposed to it. Do I need to explain that one? All right, we got to know. See, I ran across this in North Dakota. There was a great big southerner from Louisiana that was on the staff there, and we were going on a youth retreat, and we were going to be going to a hotel that had a swimming pool. And he brought up a legitimate concern. He's like, is there going to be mixed bathing? That means boys and girls actually swimming together at the same time. Deep down south, that's a big no-no, mixed bathing right there. All right, so you know you're oversaved if you have a catchphrase that is either hallelujah, praise the Lord, or God is good. You are oversaved if you are fluent in Christianese. Things like WWJD, PTL, and of course my favorite, Bless Your Heart. You know you're oversaved if the only club you've ever belonged to is the 700 Club. You know you're oversaved if you've ever held a Bible study at the halftime of the Super Bowl. You know you're oversaved if you've ever preached to stuffed animals or pets. All right, some of you are guilty of this one right here, and I'm okay with that. You know you're oversaved if you have a signature potluck dish. Meaning the same thing you make, and you bring it in the same dish for every church dinner that we have, all right? You know you're oversaved if you know what a sword drill is. You'll have to ask somebody. You know you're oversaved if your radio dial does not go higher than 90.5. You know you're oversaved if you've ever prayed for the healing of inanimate objects. Heal this car, O Lord. You know you're oversaved if you've ever prayed over the liquor store that Jesus would turn the wine into water. You know you're oversaved if you've ever dressed up like a Bible character by wearing a bathrobe and a towel on your head. I mean, when we were growing up, they used to do church Halloween parties. You had to dress up like a Bible character. So my mom gets out the bathrobe, ties the towel around your head. You're Joseph, you're Moses, you're all of them. You're a shepherd, whatever you want to be, that's who you are. I got tired one year and I made a tree and I said, I'm the tree of life. I don't know, it was weird. All right, you know you're oversaved. After your long list of boycotts, the only acceptable businesses to shop are Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. You know you're oversaved if you have a fish on the back of your car. You know you're oversaved if you refuse hand stamps at sporting events in fear of it being the mark of the beast. Thank you for somebody laughing at these. I think they're quite creative myself. You know you're oversaved if you view Song of Solomon as unholy and lewd and has no place in Scripture. And then I know at least one person here that's going to be offended by this one. And I'm proud of that. You know you're oversaved if your answering machine message contains a 3-minute testimony and a call to salvation. John and Juanita aren't here this week, but Juanita does the same thing on her message. I try to leave you guys a message, and I have to listen to the entire altar call to get to the beep at the. I don't know how many people listen all the way through your. Have you talked to your heaven? You got to call everybody 625-2154. Call it and give it a listen. There you go. You'll be blessed by it. Okay. I'm saying all that, so after I got done saying that, we sometimes are guilty of some extremes and some of our criticisms. And then I'm going to tell you, be extreme. Be extreme. As much as we make fun of some of those things, we need to be extreme in our living for the Lord. And so, installment number one in this series, all right, so I've introduced the series to you in some way here. Installment number one is this. I want to talk about extreme love. I think it's where we have to start. Because what are the great commandments? Love God and love others. Extreme love. God so loved the world. If Pastor Sam wanted to change the translation to make it fit his message, I would say it this way. God extremely loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son. Maybe a theme verse for this message, John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's so much right there that we're supposed to love like he's loved. He extremely loved us, and now we're supposed to extremely love one another. We're supposed to so love the world, so love one another, so love God, and so love our neighbor. And it becomes the distinguishing mark of a Christian. You want to show yourself as my disciples, then extremely love. And so if I had a main idea, it was something like this. We are recipients of the extreme love of God, we are called to give that extreme love to the world. As recipients of this extreme love of God, we are called to give that extreme love to the world. And so I'm going to go through and do what I usually do and give you three things and start with the same letter to help define what extreme love is. First is this, doing love. Doing love. In fact, I'm so counterculture today that I want to use bad grammar. All right, so say this after me. Say, love ain't love. Unless it takes action. A doing love. Love ain't love unless it takes action. See, we get talking about love and we get talking about feeling, we get talking about emotions, we get talking about ideas, we get talking about philosophy, but love acts. Love does. Romans 5:8, I quote it all of the time, but here it is once again. It's that powerful. God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love is to be demonstrated. There is an action of love. In the words of DC Talk, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you heard. The word love, love is a verb. Anyway, I'm the only one who knows what that's about, but I thought I'd throw that out for you, all right? Love is a verb. It is an action. And we need to be in the business of doing love, not just talking about love, not just saying how much we believe in love, not just saying how much we love love and how much we like love and how much God is love. We need to be doing love. God demonstrated, what was the John 13? It said, love as you have been loved. God demonstrated his love to you as a sinner, and now he's calling us to be the demonstration of love, to love others. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, Ben's nodding his head sometimes. I don't memorize my references that well, but he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That there is going to be an action to your love. There's going to be literal choices and steps and things that you do and things that you don't do, and that becomes the expression of your love. It is a doing love. I thought just to illustrate that, I think a good illustration of that is Jesus' story of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 11. It's an interesting conversation. Because he's having this conversation, and the one guy he's talking to gets it right. He says, the great commandments are love God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And he asks this question, who is your neighbor? And then Jesus gives this story, which doesn't really answer the whole who is your neighbor, but it answers how to love. I mean, the neighbor in the story, the one who actually loved, is the Samaritan. I guess I'll read some of it. This is Luke 11, 30 through 37 right here. I'm pretty sure that's not the right verse. I'm gonna say this one's my fault. Sorry, guys. It'd be easier to blame Ben. But I think I wrote 11, and it might be 12. Go the other direction. All right, he'll try to get up there, but I can read out of a Bible, believe it or not. In reply, Jesus said, imply, who is my neighbor? A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to a place, saw him. Passed by on the other side. Verse 33, all right. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So once again, we're instructed to love like this. that we ought to have a doing love. This priest and this Levite, the holy men, walked on the other side of the road and they avoided a really difficult situation. A guy bleeding to death on the side of the road. It's been said maybe they didn't want to be ceremonially unclean or whatever it might be. And yet the Samaritan, and of course you get the contrast of that story, the Jews were just downright racist against Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans, and yet, even though they were hated by them, this Samaritan sees this human, not a Jew, but this human, this one that God loves on the side of the road, and he goes and he does. He does. I mean, it says he gets down there and bandages his wounds. I mean, he gets blood on his hands. I mean, you know, that's inconvenient when you're on your way somewhere. This had to ruin his whole day. It says he poured out oil and wine. That stuff cost money. Put him on his own donkey. Got blood on his own car. Donkey, whatever. That's the car of the day. Yeah. He paid for the hotel. And then even came back. All of it is inconvenient. All of it is action on his part. Love is a doing love. I throw this out to you as I close this point. We often say, I'll pray for you. Now, prayer is an action, and it's a radical action. That prayer changes things, and sometimes it's the best thing we can do. Sometimes it's the only thing we can do. But I would dare say, I don't think God was overly pleased with the priest and Levite praying for him on the other side of the road. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God got down there and did something. And so be careful next time you say, I'll pray for you when a need comes across. God wants us to be the answer to the prayers. They probably already prayed, and they're bringing it to you because they don't know what to do or where to go. And that might have been just God's open door for you to be the answer. I remember, the story has nothing to do with praying for somebody, but talk about a doing love and being a good Samaritan, if you will. When I was 16 years old, I was going to like a work day at the large church that we attended. I was driving around, and this is down in South Florida. And I get there, and there was a guy, and he was dressed kind of poorly, and there was some confusion. He was telling me, he was like, yeah, I'm supposed to meet this guy, and he was going to help me do this or do that or anything. And I really was full of the love of the Lord and wanted to help people. All right, so long story short, I end up taking this guy all over. It was a homeless guy that I took. I took him to 30 miles away to like a thrift store to get him a bike because the story was he needed a bike to go to church. I paid for the bike and negotiated with him. Took him to my house, made sandwiches. And I still remember this day because my parents didn't know what I was doing. As far as I know, I was at the church. And so I take him home and my mom and dad are there and my dad... He was just really graceful about the situation. He's like, you need to be careful. Do you know what you're doing? I mean, like, I put myself in his shoes now, and I'm like, you idiot, what are you thinking? You know, he joined me in the car the rest of the day, but he didn't rebuke me. He saw my heart at work, you know, and so made him sandwich. And then next thing you know, we were driving 30 miles the other direction. And then this guy was going to, you know, he talked a good game but in the end I was a little disillusioned because another night at a hotel and then if I wouldn't do that, he wanted me to drop him off at a pawn shop so he could sell the bike and so he could get something. And it was finally like, well, I just need to take you back to a park. But man, my heart was right in the thing. I held hands with that guy and prayed with him on the front lawn. And I'm not going to let something like that ever keep me from having that kind of heart. You know what? Sometimes the doing love. What if this man still woke up and realized a Samaritan took care of him and was angry about it? There's a very real possibility that's what this story, how that story could have ended. That's how racist the Jews were about a Samaritan. How dare you let him touch me? Now you would think, that's just injustice. That's just wrong. And yet it doesn't change the call that's on our life to love, to doing love. Which really gets me to maybe the second point here, which is a dangerous love. All right, you ready? Love ain't love unless it hurts. All right, love ain't love unless it hurts. There's no such thing as safe love. And unfortunately, in the church, we've been guilty of playing safe love. We're gonna love in our buildings, or what, you know, love. I don't know what that looks like. You know, we play it safe with love. I mean, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, what did he say about loving your enemies, right? Let's read that a little bit here. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I don't like reading that last verse because that one sounds hard. But the rest of that, all of it's hard. Love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Love those who say all kinds of things about you. Love those who aren't going to love you. Love the unlovable. I mean, that's what we're called to, love as he has loved. He demonstrated his love while we were sinners, while we were blatantly in rebellion to him. He loved us and died for us. I know it's dangerous, because how many know you put your heart out there and it gets rejected? Oh, that hurts. And yet we're called to this great love, extreme love that doesn't play it safe. I figured next week I'll throw out the idea, you know, extreme sports. Do you know how unsafe and crazy those things are? You know, backflips on a snowmobile or whatever that might be. And this thing that we are called to, it's not safe. It's not easy. It's not convenient. It's gonna hurt. And you have to get past the human side of you that says, I'm going to resist pain and I'm going to resist hurt. Because we're called to love, even when it hurts. I don't have time to unpack the whole story, but the book of Hosea is a picture of God's love. And he calls Hosea to that love in calling him to marry a prostitute named Gomer. How many of you imagine some woman without any teeth? I do. Anyway. And so he marries her. They have kids together, and it's all symbolic. I'm just going to read one verse. I don't have time to unpack the whole story right here. But even though he goes and rescues her from that life and loves her with a love that she didn't deserve, he loves her as a wife and brings her into his home. There's a rescue that is there. There is a dying of self that takes place. I mean, he puts his own reputation and his own ministry, and because God called him to do this. She goes out and she cheats on him. And here's what God says. I'll just read you one verse. Hosea 3:1. The Lord said to me, and this is Hosea, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is adulterous, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. I don't have time to talk about raisin cakes right now, but we might have some in the cafe. I don't know. Let's get past the raisin cakes. Come on. What's wrong with you? Love as I love Israel. That no matter how many times they hurt me, no matter how difficult they are to love, no matter how many times they cheat, I'm telling you, don't take on the hurt, but forgive. And I know there's the biblical exception for divorce and all of those kind of things. But in our lives, we just love on our own terms too much. We love where it's safe. And we're called to forgive endlessly. We're called to have a redeeming love. That means, I mean, how did God redeem us? He took the pain for us. When's the last time you loved somebody that way, that you took the pain for them? That's a dangerous love right there. It's a love that hurts. And we're called to that kind of love. Extreme love. And really the last point, and I'm not even going to say on this one, it's cheating because it's really this danger to its fullest, is a dying love. Love ain't love. I'm going to give you another chance here. Ready? Love ain't love unless it costs everything. Love ain't love unless it costs everything. I mean, I could just say one word right here to illustrate this point, and it's that name that we've been proclaiming. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Love as you have been loved. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Said, my blood that was shed for you. John 15:13, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friend. No more extreme love than this. I get to put my own word in there. There's no more extreme love than this, than that you would die. And he did. And then he called us to love like he loved. You want to talk about love in marriage? Ephesians 5:25, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. I mean, I don't like what I see in marriage in the church today. You know, other churches, right? And yet, I mean, if there's any relationship where we ought to be living extreme love, it's marriage. It's a direct reflection. It ought to be a direct reflection of the love of God. And I guess if our marriages in the church are any reflection of our ability to love, we're in trouble. Because we're loving where it's safe, and all the moment there's something we don't like, I put up my walls, and I don't have to put up with that. And I'm not telling you to be a doormat, and yet I don't know what else looks like a doormat than to let nails be driven into your hands. Love's sometimes stupid. I mean, look at Hosea. I know many of you men said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't forgive that. I wouldn't do that. And yet God says, that's how I've loved you. That's how I've loved you. I mean, how hard have you been to love by the Lord? Maybe that ought to help you out a little bit. How many times has he had to say, I love you anyway? I love you anyway. I'll redeem you. He's calling us to an extreme love. And so I did want time to just kind of pray at the end. I went through that pretty quick. And really ask a question and then take some time for prayer here at the end. Are you low on love? Pretty good question. Are you low on love? It's been said, and I don't know if it's an exact science or an exact definition, but it's been said that there's lots of things that are said. The opposite of love is lust. The opposite of love. One thing that is said is the opposite of love is law. You know, maybe some signs that you're low on love is that you start complaining, that you're negative, that you judge, that you're nitpick. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Yet you ever been on low on love? It's kind of like being low on sleep. You get cranky. When you're low on love, you get mean. You become unforgiving. You become selfish, right? And I get it. There's really hard people to love. I'm looking at some. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. And yet, are you low on love? And so if your answer is to that, yes, we're doing good old-fashioned altar call here. I'm going to make you stand up here and ask the Lord to fill you with love. And I'm even going to pray for you, all right? And I'll have Becca come play the piano. Let me share a verse. I told her she can play whatever she wants. Ephesians chapter 3, the whole prayer of Paul here to the Ephesians is about this love of God, but just come to this one verse here, 3:19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. How many think you could define that as an extreme love? A love beyond comprehension, a love beyond definition, a love beyond our understanding. That's the love that God is and that the God gives. That you would know that love. This is going to be my prayer for you, okay? That you would know that love. Keep it up there. And that you would be filled with the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you know 1 John 5:8 says, God is love. You can almost interchange the word love for God. That you would be full, the full measure of love in your life. And there's part of this message that's for me. I need to be a recipient of the extreme love of God, and I need to be a giver of that love. I want that love flowing in my life because I know that that love, what did we sing in that song? Love so undeniable. That's a love that cannot be resisted, that can't be explained away. Oh, it's not fighting about theology, and it's not fighting about this and that. And you can't deny real love. And so maybe as you're up here, maybe there's a particular face and person that has you low on love. Maybe it's the person you're married to. It's true. I mean, that's real. Maybe kids. It can sometimes suck the love out of you. Sometimes they can be the prodigals that say, forget you, I'm out of here. And you're tired of going to that porch every night looking for your son to come home. And yet that's the Father always looking, waiting for you to break that horizon that he might embrace you. Maybe you're just low on love in general for sinners. For this world. It's like, oh, I'm going to love those who believe like me, and I'm going to love those who like me, and but I'm sick of this world, and I'm just checking out. We're not called to just check out. We're called to love extremely this world. And you've got some people that aren't too far from you on the side of the road bleeding and dying. They might be so unconscious they don't know. They probably wouldn't accept your help if they knew any better, but they're waiting for somebody that has a doing love that would save their lives. All right, so I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing. All right, go ahead, start playing a song. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and you ask the Lord yourself, am I low on love?